Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and hey, if you're having a little trouble hearing my voice today, it's just it's allergy season here in Houston, so I have a little bit less voice than normal, and I probably won't be screaming, so turn up your volume just a hair for me, please. All right. Anyway, I'm excited about today's show. You know, every week I tell you how excited I am that God blessed me to have this opportunity to be able to share other people's journeys, the miracles that they've experienced. You know, and sometimes people experience miracles, they don't even recognize it until they hear some of the stories that people tell on this show. You know, what's really funny is when you are out there and about and you're living your daily day, you just get caught up in your daily day. And we don't ever realize some of the things that God does for us, you know, or allows to happen to us so he can teach us more and make us stronger, when we never think about the fact that he wouldn't allow this to happen if he didn't think we could handle it, okay? I mean, that's just something we tell our children, not us. But the truth of the matter is, there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't feel like I let God down because I didn't stop and talk to him enough, or I didn't praise him enough, or I didn't ask him enough, or I didn't pay attention to him enough. Because we live in a fast, speedy world. At least that's all of our excuses. The internet helps speed it up. We can now only talk to our neighbors here locally or across the country with a long-distance calling card, but now we can speak to people around the world in seconds, all for free. We can get on social media, we can get on LinkedIn, we can get on Twitter, we can do all these things quickly. So, with that ability to do all that, we forget what happened to us along the way. We forget the opportunities that we've had, that God's placed in our laps. Now look, if you're not a follower of the Lord, I understand that you're probably rolling your eyes right now. I was there. Turning 60 this year and finding the Lord 7 years ago, I had over 50 years experience of rolling my eyes. So I get it. Well, unfortunately for me, I had to go through a painful process to find the Lord. And a lot of times it's a life-threatening situation of either health, marriage, divorce, something that's gone wrong, death in our lives that makes us come to Christ. So for you that are not there yet, be patient. Okay, and just pray that it doesn't come with the effect that most people go through when they wait a long period of time. Okay, because the more we fight it off, the harder it comes at us. So for me, I think that it's important for everyone out there listening to the show. Look inside yourself. Understand who you are, why you are who you are, what it is that you do for others. Is it all about you? You know, it's funny, we have to take care of ourselves first, be able to take care of others. But that doesn't mean it has to be all about you. So I want to tell you a short story that I had in my men's study this week. We watch a series called the 33 Series, Authentic Manhood. And for you men out there, go on YouTube and check out this opportunity to watch these videos. It's really awesome. Okay, it really speaks volumes to us men that, you know, wear that coat of armor until we can't carry it anymore. But here's the thing. It always talks about, you know, being better, helping yourself, you know, making sure you're a better person to help others, be a better leader, be a better father, be a better spouse. And look, if you're a wife, it doesn't have to be any different for women, okay? It all applies. And as I listen to all these things and I look at my own life and my own journey and the ups and downs that I've caused myself to be in, because I'm a believer that every place we are is every place we are supposed to be because of the choices that we've made in our lives. Well, that's a great saying, but that's not always what we had in mind when we were making those choices, because we just made the choice for an emotional decision and we have to deal with the consequences afterwards. So here was what I challenged my group of men to do. You know, everybody knows that there's mirrors in everyone's houses. And people really think that the mirrors are for shaving, makeup, blow drying your hair, making sure you're looking good. Well, I'm not saying that that's not part of it. But let me tell you the real reason I found mirrors are in your house is so that you have the opportunity all by yourself to examine what's really going on a face-to-face conversation with you and the person in the mirror and God. So there's no excuses that it's, you know, it's embarrassing or I can't tell others my story, because you can tell yourself it. And if you tell it out loud, it'll be better. And if you write it down to make that the challenge to correct, it even gets better. And then you know what happens after that? Things start appearing in front of you that allow you to use that example to help others. And the rest I can't explain, because that's a personal feeling that you'll get. But I know for me, it was hard not to smile. It was hard not to understand how important it is to focus on how to be better, what's wrong with me, why do I do these things, do I need to get additional help, or do I just maybe need to join a small group and become a part of a like-minded group of Christians that can help me be more accountable, can be honest with me. I mean, you can't ask your best friend or your spouse to tell you these answers, because you're not going to buy into their truth. But it is what they recognize. It is what they know. So try to take the easy step. Work with your mirror. See how that works for you. Be honest about it. You're in front of it anyway. Take out 10 seconds and take a look. Take a real look inside. What's missing? What are you unhappy about? What causes you to eat that second helping? What causes you to be too quiet or too loud? What kind of fears are you facing that make you become controlling? All these different things add up. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Okay, I just know from my own experiences, this is an ongoing process. That's why, for me, I'm glad that every bathroom has a mirror. Okay, because that's the first place you go in the morning when you wake up, right? To the timeout, take a peek, see what your day is going to be like. Make some decisions that will allow you to make choices that will be better for your day. So at the end of the day, you're right where you're supposed to be from the decisions you made. You'll find improvement, and if you do, please call into us, 347-989-1363. You can listen by that number, or you can ask a question by pushing 1 after you dial in. So we got a great show, as I mentioned today. We got two people from Georgia. Now, folks, I don't schedule these shows. They're automated, that people go in and schedule it themselves. So the opportunity of having two people from the same area, well, it has nothing to do with me. It's a God thing. So I would make sure to pay attention good today, because there's some messages coming. We have a young man by the name of Eddie Caparucci and Alexis Nicole White. Okay, so Eddie's going to be our first guest. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we do come back, we'll bring him up. Now, a couple things. You can find us on Facebook under Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can find me under Tony Gambone. You can find us on Twitter under Tony Gambone or TTR Network. Now, look, I love meeting new people, so connect with me. Let's find out what we have in common and don't have in common. Let's see how we could help each other. You can always be a guest on the show by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com, register to be a guest, and then pick a date that's available for you and your schedule. Okay, so we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring Eddie back up on the show. So fill up your coffee, get another bottle of water, and a bigger piece of paper. You're going to need to take notes.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and we're here on the Tough Talk Christian Radio every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. If you missed the beginning of the show, you can go back to toughtalkchristianradio.com and listen to the archive recording as well. If you want to call into the show and talk to the guest, 347-989-1363 to listen, press 1 if you have a question. Okay, so my first guest, Eddie Caparucci, a former advertising and marketing executive who worked for several major advertising agencies for nearly 25 years. God then took him, or then took hold of him, and moved him away from the career into the world of Christian counseling, but not without a fight. So I'm real excited about bringing Eddie up on the show today because him and I have a similar past. We're around the same age, we're on the same mission, and it came to us two different ways. So without wasting any more time, Eddie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. Hey, it's great to be here with you today.
It's my pleasure. So, Eddie, I know that you're in Georgia, calling in from Georgia. Is that where you're from originally?
No, I'm actually a Jersey boy. I lived up in New Jersey for about almost 40 years before I thought I came down here for a job, opportunity to help manage another advertising agency, but that's not why I came here. I came down here so God could put me in a church and in a pew, and I could hear for the first time someone say it's all about the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that just turned my world upside down and sent me on a journey over the last 13 years that has been just absolutely incredible. And to the point that you made during your monologue at the beginning, it's like the more we try to fight when God tries to intervene into our lives, the tougher it's really going to come at you. And that's exactly what happened with me.
Yeah. So what part of New Jersey, Eddie? I grew up right outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm up in the more northern part of the state. I grew up in Bloomfield, New Jersey, which is about 30 minutes outside of New York City. And I spent a lot of my adult life in the Mount Olive area, which is up near the Delaware Water Gap.
Yep, very familiar with that area. And so I got a question for you, Eddie. I grew up out, in the outskirts of Philadelphia and, moved to Las Vegas and then opened riverboats up. I worked in a casino for 20 years, and I opened up riverboats in Mississippi and Louisiana and then moved to Houston. Whole different world from what I was used to, right? So when you moved to Georgia, did you recognize, well, I know the accents were a little different, but there was a different speed of living, a different purpose of life?
There is and there is not. There is in the sense that from a purpose, there's more of a connection down here that you see with Christianity, where people are more emboldened to express the fact that they're a Christian. As far as the speed of life down here, it's really about the same as it is everywhere else because of technology today. I mean, that's what really drives the process. It's not like we're maybe somewhere in Mississippi or some other smaller state. I'm just outside of Atlanta, which is like a major hub of 5 million people. So the pace is still active, but the love for God is more visible.
Very good. Very good. So you spent a lot of time in the advertising world. I guess you didn't really realize what you were getting ready to advertise, but what happened in your life that made you turn to God? I mean, usually it just wasn't a day you woke up and said, hey, you know what? I think today I'm going to become a follower of Jesus.
No, I had been a Christian all my life, but I labeled the past passive Christian. You know, went to church on Sunday, and that was it, and did not live a Christian lifestyle at all. You know, I suffered from a sexual addiction myself, and actually right now as a licensed professional counselor with my own private practice, about 70% of what I do is counseling men who are suffering from sexual addiction. So, you know, what God was doing was grooming and preparing me, even though, you know, my sin life was running amok. You know, he knew at some point he was going to be able to take my experiences, my knowledge, plus what I learned through becoming with my accreditation and my training that I learned in how to treat sexual addiction, as well as what you talked about before, again, earlier, about this idea of self-reflection. I've done so much self-reflection. I still do it. It's an ongoing process. We hate it because we hate looking at the ugliness that's there, but it's needed. Because when we understand why we do what we do, it makes it so much easier to stop. But if I don't understand the root causes of what is causing me to have these destructive feelings and behaviors, then, you know what, I'm just going to be lost. I may put in some behavior modification, but in the long run, those are going to run weak. So therefore, I really need to go to the root of it. But to go back to your original question, when I came down here, and as I said, I heard about, you know, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, that began a pathway for me, which was more of education. I'd never picked up the Bible, so I started reading the Bible. I read it 4 times in 2 years. And so at the end, I was like, oh, my gosh, I have all this great insight about God and what it's about, but it wasn't changing my heart. My heart still wasn't, you know, where it should have been. And then I began that process. As one of my mentors said to me, he goes, you know what, it's about moving out of the spiritual world and living in that kind of a mindset and becoming a more spiritual person. And that's where I started. And as that really started to take a hold of me, God started tugging at me and saying, you know what, we're done chasing money. We're done chasing power. We're done chasing prestige. I have something else I want you to chase. And that was very difficult for me because I liked my stuff. I didn't want to give it up. You know, I was making good money. I had a really great career. And that began a 2-year battle for me that I fought with him and, you know, bargained, did everything you could ever imagine. But, of course, in the long run, he wins, and I'm glad that he won. And that took me back to school to get my master's degree in counseling, did my supervision, my internship, my practicum, you know, everything that needed to be done to be able to get licensed by the state of Georgia. And now I've been in my practice for about 5 years. And I will tell you this, Tony, you know, throughout my whole life, there's always been this sort of a void, this sense of discontentment, no matter what I had, no matter what was going on in my life, just a sense that I wasn't fulfilled. And never am I more at peace now than when I sit in that chair in my office across from people and helping them. Because what I get to see every day is God at work. And that is such a major blessing. And I am so unworthy of that call, but I'm so grateful that he called me to do it.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. It's just amazing to see people that have had that turnaround. And, you know, when I first started going to a church, I was raised Catholic, but now I go to I don't go to a Catholic church anymore, but a non-denominational church that I go to. And one of the things that I found was a little weird was, you know, people raising their hands up in the air and doing all kinds of things that were just a lot different than what I ever expected, you know. So I really came in there with a little bit of a funny look to it. I now understand it. When I got baptized, people were so excited. I now understand that. So I guess my point is, once you start understanding more of the church, it's so much easier to look in that mirror and understand how you can work with God to change yourself easier. So you work with you're a licensed Christian counselor. and certified in the treatment of sexual addiction and marriage counseling. Yep. Now, I mentioned about running a men's Bible study. Men, you know, we are, well, we're just not all there. Ask any of our wives, they'll tell you that. But as we go through life, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, and then into your 60s, we start recognizing things that we thought might have been weaknesses that actually turned out to be learning lessons, tools that we could use later in life to help others. And I find it fascinating that at our age, we find this stuff out. It's so awesome. How do you then try to teach others without sounding like you're either a know-it-all or you know more than them? How do you get them to relax and trust in the conversation?
Yeah, you know what, Tony, you bring up a great point, because men are, they don't express their emotions very well. In fact, men can't identify their emotions very well. Men are very good. They can tell you if they're angry, they can tell you if they're sad, they can tell you if they're happy. But they can't drill down into the secondary emotions, and there are a multitude of those that are there. So what you really need to do when you're dealing with men is to go at their pace, because you do need to develop a rapport with them. They do need to feel comfortable. But one thing that really helps a great deal is when I sit and I share some of my story with them. Because now they look at me and they don't say, oh, he's just somebody who read a bunch of books and he's going to tell me how I should do this. And no, I've read a lot of books, yes. But I'm also writing a book. But the thing is that I've walked in your shoes. I've been there. I know this is not easy. I know how much you are struggling now. And when that happens and they hear that, all of a sudden you can see their shoulders kind of drop down, and there seems to be they just breathe a sigh of relief that, oh, my gosh, you actually understand where I'm coming from. And that's what's really important in the process.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's where I've learned to be more transparent, and I think that's where the mirror concept comes in. You can't be transparent unless you're willing to face the truth about what it is you do right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one's going to believe you if you can't prove the blisters on your feet that you walked in their shoes. So I think reading is really important. But a lot of times, reading with experience is the only way to help others get past that issue. So what do you find that men are mostly having a problem with? There's so many statistics about sexual addiction, and I mean, when you see it on TV, you're like, really? I mean, like Tiger Woods, and then you have different people, right? And it's like, oh, they're just making that up because, you know, he got caught. But what is that rampantness of sexual addiction out there for men? I mean, how wide is it? Is it 1 out of 5? Is 1 out of 100? Any kind of information on that?
Yeah, to your point, the statistics are all over. They're all over the board. And no one has a really good feel for how prevalent the problem is. But let me tell you, when they do studies, and they'll just ask the question of, not, are you, you think you have a sexual addiction? Because remember, a sexual addiction means that I am consumed with sexual thoughts. And I act upon them in various ways. That is very different than a man who just lusts for a few minutes when he's in the grocery store and he sees this beautiful woman and he can't take his eyes off her for a moment or two. And then he comes back and he's back in the real world. He's not really thinking about her. All men battle with lust. There's no doubt. I mean, we're very visual, and there are so many stimuli that are out there. I mean, you can go to online if you're going to look at a sports, you know, website. And at the bottom, there'll be all these kind of raunchy things that'll be down there. Or on the side, it'll be, oh, Kim Kardashian naked. You can't get away from it. Men can't. And because it's becoming that, it's becoming so much more prevalent. We are becoming, there's so much more in the way of sexual imagery being thrown at us. Men who, again, don't suffer from sexual addiction may find themselves just lusting more often. So there's a big difference. You need to understand what's the difference between a sex addict who has this compulsion they can't control and therefore looks at pornography, goes to escorts, goes to massage parlors, whatever it may be, and the man who just lusts occasionally. Because, again, when it comes down to a sexual addiction, it's not about sex anyway. I mean, the only time it's about sex is if you were exposed at an extremely young age or perhaps you have been sexually abused. Other than that, it's not about sex.
So I know that from stuff that I've read and watched that men all struggle with that, and there is a difference. It is, like you said, it's not, you know, the wow factor of, wow, what a very attractive lady, or, you know, or what was she thinking when she put that on type of thing, okay? It's
right.
About following past that point, okay? I mean, we have eyes to see, but the actions that we take on it. So how, when a man is undecided, he's on the fence of whether he is or he isn't addicted to it, what would be a simple indication that he would think, well, maybe I need to get some help? Is there such a thing?
Yes, there is. And basically what it becomes is when it really starts having an impact on your ability to focus and concentrate. So therefore, I'm at work and, you know, I'm focusing more on the women who are around me than I am on my job and what I need to be doing. If I'm in church and I'm more focused on looking at the women who are sitting in the pews versus, again, focusing on the sermon that's happening. You know, if you find yourself that you seem to be more preoccupied with sex, if you can't get on the internet and let's say you went on to look at CNN or Fox News, but yet you find yourself gravitating to some sort of a porn site almost every time you get on, then you could be saying, then you need to be looking at it and saying, you know, I may have a problem here, and I need to, you know, look for a certified sexual addiction counselor so that I can get an evaluation and make a determination. Because I do get men who come into the office, they're not sex addicts. What they do, they're going through maybe a very difficult time in their lives, and what they've done is they've turned to sex through pornography and masturbation to soothe them and to help distract them from some of the emotional pain that they're facing.
So is that comparable to food or alcohol?
Yes.
Or drugs?
Absolutely. Tony, absolutely. They're all the same. They're all used the same way. You know, whether it be food, it be shopping, it be gambling, it be internet addiction, television addiction, you know, people with their iPads and they're playing their, like, you know, Angry Bird games and they can't stop doing that. All of that is a distraction from something that they don't want to be facing. And sometimes it could be nothing more than boredom, loneliness. There's a lot of other things. They don't have to be trauma-type problems, but they could be other problems that you just don't have the resources available to them. Like, for example, take someone who just, their life is boring. They have lack of very low stimulation. Well, the problem with them is they don't have enough lifelines, what I call lifelines, coming into their lives. People, hobbies, different interests that can keep them more stimulated. So what they do is they turn to something else, whether, again, it be food, it be sex, internet, things like that.
You know, time goes really fast, Eddie, and I tell people a lot of times the first step is recognizing what the problem is. So that's the right foot taking a step forward. The left foot, if it doesn't go forward and take action on the problem, you cannot stand balanced in the place that you're standing. So it's really important to take that first step, but yet more important to take the second step, where you're going to still be in worse shape than you were when you just recognized the problem. So, Eddie, how can people find you?
They can reach me at my email at edcappa, E-D-C-A-P-P-A, at gmail.com. They can also go to my website, which is abundantlifecounselingga.com. And also I have a blog, if I could throw that out there. It's
sure.
It's called sexuallypuremen.com.
Sexually Pure Men. I want to put that up on the social media so people can click on these links and get information. You know, sometimes we have to see it in private before we'll have the opportunity to go further with it. And just know, guys, if you can recognize it on your own, there's a lot more to do. So I hope everybody will take advantage of what Eddie's offering. Eddie, I know you have a book coming out, and tell everybody about a little bit about it and when it's expected to come out so they can be ready to purchase it.
Well, right now I'm in the midst of still writing it. It's entitled Making of a Sex Addict, 9 Reasons Why Men Abuse Sex. Hope to have it done by the fall, then probably sometime in 2017 it'll get out there.
All right, well, I hope you'll come back and share that with us on the show. And once again, I can't thank you enough for being transparent and allowing yourself to give up your old self to the new self and just using the gifts God put in front of you. So thank you for being on the show today.
And thank you, too. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. God bless you.
You too, Eddie. We'll talk soon. Folks, we're going to take another commercial break. And if you didn't hear from the beginning of the commercials, TXAuthors.com is a big event that's going to happen April 30th, May 1st, Austin, Texas. Actually, I'm one of the presenters. I'll be speaking 2 different days there where all the authors in Texas and surrounding states will be coming. So this will be a big opportunity for you to meet people that are like-minded, that have books, that can help with books, and get them books out of the trunk of your car and help you speak off your books. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here on Tough Talk Christian Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
All right, great interview with Eddie Caparucci out of Georgia. And he has a counseling service for addiction, sexual addiction, and marriage counseling, and even grief counseling as well. AbundantLifeCounselingGA.com. Check it out. Great stuff. If you're a guy out there, and, you know, I'm a guy, so I understand what you're thinking. Oh, I have it under control. That's the first sign that they tell an alcoholic that he needs to get help. Just saying that out loud, guys. Take a second and think about that. Or maybe you should use that mirror in the morning to find out where you're at with that as well. So, my second guest. Well, we got Georgia in the house today because Alexis Nicole White is an entrepreneur and author and an inspirational speaker. She's a graduate of Purdue University. She always dreamed of climbing the corporate ladder. However, life and relationship experiences have birthed another passion in her life. Today, she's a writer and a speaker and passionate about raising awareness about emotional abuse in relationships. She has a memoir, The Covered, highlights her journey with experiencing emotional abuse and how she survived and thrived. Now, this is great, guys, because remember, I did tell you, I don't schedule these shows. They're automatically done, just as I mentioned if you want to be a guest on the show. Her goal is to help other women, young and old, do the same, survive and thrive. Now, we had Eddie talking to men, and we got Alexis talking to women. I don't know about you, but God's bringing the message here today. Alexis, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Good afternoon or morning. It's still morning.
Yeah, it's still morning here. So, you know, I'm really fascinated all the time as I'm doing these shows. I mentioned I don't plan the interviews. They just show up because I leave that to the big guy. And as we move through the show here today, we talked about men and their problems. And now we're going to be talking about you and where you're from and all that and how you help women of all ages survive and thrive. And in today's world, that's a huge, huge challenge. So let me ask you a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
You are in Georgia. And
yes.
What part of Georgia? Are you near Eddie by chance?
I am in Atlanta, Georgia. I
okay.
didn't catch which part of Georgia. I heard he was from Jersey, but I didn't hear which part of Georgia he was near.
And what? Where are you from originally?
Gary, Indiana.
Okay. That makes Purdue make sense.
Yes.
Okay. And so how cool would that be if you and Eddie got together and did a couples thing?
Well, that would be definitely awesome because I definitely was in agreement with a lot of things that he was saying in terms of men and sexual immorality, per se.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the process where women have to understand that problem that men
yes.
deal with. So
yes.
that's awesome. So, you know, you had this dream of,
mm-hmm.
you know, you went to college. I mean, I think this is the American dream. And mm-hmm. you wanted to climb the corporate ladder and gain a title that showed that you worked hard to get through college. And everything
mm-hmm.
went a different direction. I mean, God has a funny sense of humor. But tell us about that journey and what brought you to writing your memoir.
Well, I am like most millennials that have realized that life is just not what our parents taught us that it would be. And it's not to their fault. Things have just changed. My parents were first-generation college kids, so, of course, it was innate in me to go to college because that's what they thought would enable me to make a decent salary to be able to take care of myself. However, I was one of the millions of people who graduated in 2008 when the stock market crashed and the housing crisis happened, and everyone just went bankrupt, you know. So I experienced difficulty with trying to obtain a job, trying to get stable, trying to get on my own. And I took a little bit of risk with God's help, but I took leaps of faith, and I came to Atlanta to look for my dream and to figure out what was it that I was really supposed to do. And when I did that, I was just exposed to a whole different level of people, situations, circumstances than what I thought. But because I was always a writer, and people have always told me, oh, my God, that sounds like a book. I just decided to get it out the cloud and to get it on the shelves, and I finally sat down to write my book.
Hmm. So you said you were always a writer. Is that something
mm-hmm.
you did in school? Or is it just a hobby? Or I see that
it's been
done
a combination
a
of both. I was actually always in gifted and talented programs as a child. So I went to a lot of programs that allowed creative writing. So I had a teacher who really could see my abilities because, honestly, I used to get in trouble a lot, too. I was bored a lot, so I used to get into a lot of idle trouble. And while I was on punishment, a lot of times I had no choice but to write because that was the only thing that I could do. So I started writing stories and poetry and just any types of writing that I can do at an early age. And that writing became a hobby, which became a very strong passion for me and entertainment. And that's where I started to pursue Atlanta for the City of Opportunity and Entertainment, thinking that this will be just the vessel that I need to supply myself with all these opportunities, and it just was not like that.
So when you learned that it wasn't just like that, what day, what happened that day when you said, I got to face this reality, it's not what I thought it was going to be, and now I got to create something that I think it's supposed to be and then make it work?
It was plenty of days like that, honestly. And at the time, I was not as strong as I am in my walk or in my faith. And so, you know, if I knew nothing else, I knew I could call on the name of Jesus and I'd be saved. So it was plenty of days when I'm like, Lord, what is happening to me? If you can just get me out of this. Because after you face homelessness and not having any money, not having any friends that you can call, being 700 miles away from home, you know, without a license, without, you know, insurance on your car, and just all kind of crazy things going on, because, you know, it takes money to stay out of debt. It takes money to be able to survive. So not to have a job, but and to be in a different place that is not similar to what you're familiar with, it's very, very challenging. And, you know, I just had to continue to just hold on to the little piece of faith that I had and just be inspired to keep going.
Yeah, and sometimes when we're in that desperate situation where we don't have many choices, we have no choice but to keep stepping. And,
exactly.
And so, you know, sometimes that's a blessing to be strained, especially it seems as though you were brought up in the right environment, you know, all the boxes checked, parents had college degrees, you went to college, everything was just pretty. Now, do you find that women that get into those types of situations, do you think that allows them to become abused in certain different ways? Does it make them more vulnerable?
Absolutely. Being financially deprived or financially stressed definitely enables women to be in emotional abusive situations, because a lot of times their partners have the ability to take care and to provide, and they hang that over a woman's head. So when she makes the conscious choice that a situation is not working for her, it's not healthy, she's not growing and thriving, a lot of times she's stomped and she's stuck in that situation because she's thinking about finances. If I leave, where am I going to live? How am I going to survive? How do I pay my bills? And unfortunately, it gives air to negative situations to continue to brew, because now you want to break free and you can't. And it creates a fear, it creates hesitance, and all types of negative emotions that a person should not be exposed to, all because of some money. And you think that it's very, very small and minimum, but money controls everything. And the person who has the most money has the loudest voice. So it's very unfortunate, and I've seen it time and time again where there are a lot of women in very negative, unhealthy, abusive situations, not just financially but in other abusive situations, that can't escape because they don't know how to make way for themselves. And it's even worse when there are children involved, because now it's not just you where you can suck it up and suffer. Your children also suffer, and you have to think about them as well.
So, you know, I listen to what you say there. I mean, it is a fact that we need money to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking at my own personal experience of losing everything that I had, house, cars, money, everything, due to illness, okay, and thank God it was an illness, or I would have really thought it was my fault, even though I still do think it was partly my fault. The thing of it is that brings a whole new growth back. You can either come back angry or thankful. You could either come back thankful that it took place so you could be better and help others, or you could stay angry and just be worse.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes money can be more of a problem than help.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of people that have money that are so unhappy or so abused or emotionally abused, or, you know, because a man or a woman will use whatever tool you allow them to use to abuse you. So the hard part is, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're absolutely correct. Because you think about the people who are extremely wealthy and still unhappy, you know, and then they have other issues that they're being abused with, or things that are abusing them. So you are absolutely correct when you make that statement.
Well, so the thing of it is that when people are feeling that way, when women feel that way, okay, They come to you, and that's what you do. You work with them to work their way through it. So are you considered a life coach? What are you recognized as when it comes to that?
I just call myself a consulting friend, honestly, I really frown upon, and I have to get out of this, but the word coach is so thrown around so many times, and all they do is just help you come to a conclusion. However, a lot of times...
Yeah, they spent your money.
right, and you pay them for it. I'm just consulting you as a friend. And the reason why I say that is I am genuinely concerned about the people in my life, and I am very protective of them. So I'm very raw in my approach. So if someone is sharing something with me, I have to give them this disclaimer. Don't think it's you. I'm not being critical. I'm just calling it what it is. Because a lot of times people are like, oh, it was just so mean. But it's not to be mean. You know, it's just this is what it is, you know, and you have to either accept it and plan to fight it and get over it, or you're going to allow this thing to dominate and control you for the rest of your life or for a long period of time that it doesn't have to occur. So I definitely spend a lot of time counseling different people in different things. And, you know, you can either take the advice or leave it. But it's always funny because even when those are hesitant to receive the counsel that they've received, they always come back and they say, you know what, you sure was right about whatever it was that, you know, I mentioned. And it's not about being right. It's just sharing my experiences. I believe that God chose me to endure what I've endured, to be able to genuinely help, counsel, and advise others. And I would be wrong, and it would be in vain to my existence if I've experienced the things that I've experienced and I don't share how I could have done differently with someone else.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I really believe, and it took me a long time to come to this, I thought people were just, you know, just worked really hard to be able to do what they do and be really good at it. And I think that that's part of the process. But I think God gifted us with special gifts. And the hard part is recognizing what those gifts are. Because we lead our life out, you know, from birth, and our parents are always trying to do. I mean, I am a parent, and, you know, my kids are, my youngest is in college, and I don't know that he has intentions of being anything in the corporate world. I think he wants to be an entrepreneur. But it's a different world today. So as we raise our children, we don't know any better. We don't know what's coming in the future. If we did, we'd probably be working in the circus. So the thing of it is when we get to these points in our lives, it's a rude awakening. And sometimes if we go back to our parents, they don't respond properly because they feel guilty like it might have been their fault, or you might have attitude like they did you wrong. So going to someone like yourself, and I love the fact of what you call yourself, okay? I mean, I think coaching is important. I think every team should have one. But the thing of it is I like the way you phrased that because, well, you're giving yourself an opportunity to be a straight shooter with them, and if they can't accept the straight shot, then you know you can't help them. And it's really, really important to be able to say, well, I'm sorry, I can't work with you. I don't think I can help you. So I really applaud you for that.
And it's hard. It's hard because there are some people that I'm working with now that have very, very challenging situations. And, of course, you know, it's complicated, you know, when you have children and things so forth like that. And, you know, I just really encourage and empower them to always do what's best for them. And I really applaud you guys for highlighting the importance of transparency, because that's so important when trying to counsel and help people. Like you said earlier, no one respects you or wants to even hear what you have to say if they don't see evidence of scars in your own life. And so when I share my experience with others, I say, let me tell you what happened to me. But I don't start there. I tell them where I'm coming from with my thoughts first, and then I come back to where I drew that conclusion from. And so, you know, it's very important that women, especially young single women, understand that we are so vulnerable to foolishness that it is insane. And we are really spiritually under attack. And it's so hard to maintain a Christian walk and to date and to look for love and to find love, although I don't really think that we're looking. But it's the expectation that, you know, you should be married and that you should have children and that you should do all these things the correct way. And we're just under attack because you can be doing things correctly, step by step correctly, and still come across just bad guys or good people, but just not good people for you, and be introduced to bad situations. And we have to know how to get out of those situations. When we see the storm brewing, we need to know how to take cover to protect ourselves. And a lot of times we're not being prepared to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. I think that it's not easy. None of it's easy. The hardest part is recognizing the problem. The second hardest part, or maybe even harder, is to deal with the problem. And then find someone that can push the right buttons into you for you to feel trusted enough to allow them to guide you. Because that's another thing in itself, is to be able to build that relationship with that client that allows you to lead them. And then you got a big thing on your hands, you know, the responsibility of where it turns out to be. Not because you need to generate more clients, just because of the personal reasons that you're helping them. So that's an ongoing process for both sides of that relationship. Now tell me, you do a radio show, a television show, you authored a book.
Yes.
So tell me about the book. Let's talk about that first.
The book is a memoir that details the first 8 years of me transitioning to Atlanta, coming here without any money, resources, so I can attest to financial abuse, not having proper housing. I drove down here without a license, registration. I just barely had a vehicle with some clothes in it when I came. And just trying to get on my way. And once I started to get on my way, I just continued to face other setbacks professionally, with career, personally, with just relationships, financially, trying to climb up the corporate ladder, just overcoming the different obstacles that I faced. And how do you find that balance with your life? How do you make peace with your life and say, you know what, God, this is who I am. Thank you for keeping me here, because there is someone off worse than you. But, you know, just being grateful, how do you still be humble with the life and the path that God has chose for you? And it's just interesting, because I promise, one day I was at church, and I was asking for prayer, just with a prayer counselor, and she asked generally, you know, what would you like to pray for? And I just said, I just like general covering. And she went on about how she wants for me to be able to have a message for young girls. And I thought it was preposterous, because at the time I'm like, what in the world would I be having to say to young women? But now I know, and that was 3 years ago. So it's like now I know what it was that God wanted me to do and why he led me down the path that he took me down. And to learn how to not despise that process and not point the finger at other people and feel like, well, if you hadn't done this to me, then I wouldn't have been there. It's just all about the evolution of accepting accountability and responsibility for your actions and for your life and driving your own happiness despite what other people tell you that should look like.
I love it. I love it. And if you don't mind, can I ask you how old you are?
I am 32. I just turned 32.
Awesome. That's awesome, because you are the age that speaks to the upcoming 20-year-olds. That's awesome. And that's where the help is really needed. And I'm being selfish, Alexis, because turning 60, I'm going to need their help later. So getting them on track would be perfect for me. But you do a radio show and a TV show. Can you tell people how they can tune into that?
Sure. The television show is still in production and filming right now. It is being pitched to major outlets, so it's not available for a review right now. But the radio show, I am a part of the Mind Your Business Radio, which caters to entrepreneurship. And I am with a group of ladies that go out on the last Tuesday of the month to visit small businesses in Atlanta. And what we do is just sit down and talk to the owners and find out what their challenges are, trying to help them and just, you know, open up the dialogue about really what entrepreneurship looks like. Because for some reason or another, people either have two ideas. They think that either you have a whole lot of money or they think you have no money at all. And it's really interesting how entrepreneurship can be often frowned upon by those who don't really understand it. So it's just opening up the dialogue about what entrepreneurship really looks like and how does one become successful to grow to the really wealthy person that we see.
Hmm. Awesome. And now, what's the next book? Is that planned yet?
You know, I thought about it, but I really haven't been able to even really plan it yet, because if I write another book, it would definitely be more of a self-help book, but just trying to find the appropriate way to word it and get the rhetoric down so that it is well-received and well-understood without sounding so critical and so stern, if that makes sense. Because a lot of times when I speak to people, they always reference Steve Harvey, and I appreciate what he's done, but I often find contradictions in his message. So that's the different angle that I would be writing it in, but I want it to be well-received. So I really haven't started writing it yet.
Mm, very good. Well, Alexis, time goes fast on here. Tell everyone how they can find you, get a hold of you, and tune in to you, or even have you come and speak for their group.
Sure. I am on AlexisNicoleWhite.com. My book, The Covered, is available in 40,000 retail stores. That includes your Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million, as well as Amazon. Please, when you purchase the book, read it and write a review, because that is definitely important. I am on Twitter at I Am Miss Alexis, Instagram at I Am Miss Alexis, and Facebook at AlexisNicoleWhite.com.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate your time today, and when that next book comes out, please come back and join us.
I definitely will. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a blessing.
Thank you. Okay,
thank
folks,
you.
We're going to take a short break, and we're going to let the txauthors.com, sponsors of this show here today, give you the message about an event in Austin, Texas, April 30th, May 1st. It's going to be one of a kind. Make sure to pay attention to how you can get details.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right. That's our show for today, folks. Great interviews. Eddie Caparucci and Alexis Nicole White. Just some really interesting stuff. Eddie speaks to men, and Alexis speaks to women. Make sure to check them out. Make sure to join us every Thursday from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. I hope everyone has a blessed week. And just one more reminder of that challenge. Man or woman, child or adult, when you go by a mirror in your house, okay, take a look inside. See what it is that you need to work on, and start working on it. If you're not a Christ follower, find a church by you, shop around, take a look, and maybe you'll have the opportunity to find a new way in life. I'm praying for you. We'll see you next week here on the Tough Talk Christian Radio Network.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit TuffTalkRadioNetwork.com for more information.